All right, good morning, everybody. So, how many of you guys have ever seen t-shirts or posters or signs or it says, keep calm and do something, right? Some of them say, like, for instance, the first one I found says, keep calm and Hakuna Matata. What does that mean?
Don't worry,
right? All right. Then, looking around, I found another one. Keep calm and carry snacks. Moms do that, right? So when we were little, and I'm sure all the moms and parents here, when you get ready to go out, maybe you're going somewhere, you're going to be a while, and you got a little kid, those little Ziploc things full of snacks, right? Keep calm, carry snacks. I think a lot of people like this next one. Keep calm and eat chocolate. I like chocolate, right? Everybody likes chocolate. You can't see it, can you?
No, I can be.
Yep. All right. Now, this one is my favorite. Maybe you can tell by the way I look, but the next one is my favorite. Keep calm and eat bacon. Now, I enjoy bacon, right? Now, how many of you guys know what the history of these signs are, Sean? So I'm kind of curious. I like to, when I hear things that I don't know about, I start digging around, and I'll sit around at home, you know, surfing through the web, trying to figure out something that I heard on the radio or heard somebody mention that I had never heard about. So these keep calm signs were basically started out with this sign, keep calm and carry on. It was a sign that was created by, I believe, the Ministry of Information in Britain in the late 1930s. And the purpose for these signs were with the impending, well, with World War II starting and Hitler and the Nazis kind of running through Europe, you know, the English people, the politicians and the people running the country kind of knew if they get through all of Europe, they're coming here, right? But one of the things that they thought they would do was put out a propaganda, and propaganda can be positive and negative, right? There's propaganda to try to get people to do things that you want them to do that aren't necessarily the right thing to do, but then there's also propaganda that you can use to get people to do the right thing, right? And they wanted people in England to kind of buck up, right? To stay strong in the face of adversity that was coming. It was a series of three posters. So Keep Calm and Carry On was actually the third. It was very limited release. One of the first ones is Freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. Another sign, another piece of propaganda by the British government to get their people to understand that something important is happening. Defend it with all your might. Don't halfway do it. Don't do it half-heartedly, but with all your might. This isn't something that they weren't playing around, right? This isn't the type of propaganda where they're trying to get you to, advertisements all propaganda too, right? They're not trying to get you to buy a certain type of candy bar. They're trying to get you to be steadfast, understand that your freedom is in peril, and defend it with all your might. And lastly, your courage, your cheerfulness, and your resolution will bring us victory. So that was actually the second poster in the series with the carry on and keep calm being the third. So what all this propaganda was for, and that was really all I had as far as audiovisual. So the purpose of all this propaganda was to keep the people of England, or Britain, I guess, in a more general sense, to keep their resolution up so they didn't get demoralized. There was an enemy, and I don't know how many of you guys are war buffs or have watched any, you know, documentaries or anything on what the Nazis did in the early or late 1930s. They developed a type of war called Blitzkrieg, where they just came in with just massive numbers and massive weaponry and just tore up a place, okay? They just came in and completely tried to decimate a place. And Blitzkrieg, meaning, I believe, lightning war. Any German scholars? I think it means lightning war. So the purpose for what they did was not necessarily because they thought leaving a smoking crater where Poland used to be was the best idea, but it was to set fear and demoralize the next guys in line, right? So if your neighbor is just being completely wiped off the map by these guys and you know you're next, that's a demoralizing thing. That's something that just gets into your soul. You almost don't want to fight. So hence your freedom is at peril. Defend it with all your might. So the British government tried to use propaganda. It was just posters, right? Nowadays we use it for everything, right? You saw the ones I had up there. Carry snacks, eat bacon, eat chocolate, right? But it was a purposeful attempt to try to keep the morale of the English people up, right? So now, if you would take a look into our Christian lives, right? In this little analogy that I'm playing, who would we equate with the Nazis in our lives, in our Christian life? The devil, right? The thing Satan does, he does to demoralize us, right? He does to make us think all hope is lost. He tears us down. He attacks the things that we care about so that we feel like there's no hope, right? So I was actually doing some reading in on some of the things that Satan does to achieve his goals, and somebody cleverly came up with the six D's, right? Deception, doubt, discouragement, diversion, defeat, and delay. Right? The six D's of what Satan does. Sounds very similar to what the Nazis were doing in 1938, 1939, right? John 10:10 says that the thief, and we all know the thief is Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. Okay, that's the first half of that verse, right? The second half of the verse is a little, not a little, it's a lot more encouraging for us. It's almost like these posters, right? It says, I have come, so now we've talked about the thief, which is Satan. I, being Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So when Satan is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, just like the Nazis were, we have a poster. You know, our poster is in the Bible, right? We have tons. I have 3 pages of the equivalent of keep calm and carry on in the Bible, right? So John 10:10 tells us what the devil's going to do, and then it gives us our encouragement, right? Just like the one, the poster, our freedom is in peril. Here's what we do about it, right? So the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has done something about it, right? Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. We know what he's about. We know the six D's that he's come to do, but again, we have a book full of encouraging posters. Morale. Esprit de corps. Okay? And again, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober and vigilant. Am I saying that word? Vigilant. Vigilant. If you're vigilant, then that might mean that you live in a village. I don't I don't know, but be vigilant. No, did I say it wrong again? Vigilant. I got to go back to fourth grade. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay? And again, to go back to our original analogy, 1939, who was the roaring lion trying to devour everyone? The Nazis, right? So, again, but we have, like I mentioned, we have a book full of encouraging posters. And the, what's the difference between the posters that the British government put out and the promises of peace and of encouragement in the Bible? Exactly. The only thing that government can promise you is that they will charge you taxes, right? They couldn't promise that the Nazis weren't going to knock every building down and take everybody into captivity, right? All they could promise is that they were going to charge you some sort of taxes. That's what governments do, right? But the word of God is true. God's promises come true. They are there. They will happen. So one analogy of courage and taking courage from God, if we can go, if you want to turn to 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6, and I'm going to lift my paper up because I can't see that far. Print it out too small. And this again was in a time of war, and this was David. And now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, which I said better than vigilant, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Sounds kind of like what the Nazis were doing through Europe, right? And they'd taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, this is where I'm going to get in trouble, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved for every man, his sons, and his daughters. So, again, it's a time of war. There's a force out there that's raining down on the people of that area. They're doing things that are meant to discourage, right? It's one thing to come in and take over a town or to burn a town, but you walked off with his wife and kids, with everybody's wives and kids. That's not something you do to stop an enemy. That's something you do to demoralize an enemy, right? That's something you do to basically take his will away from him, right? That's almost psychological warfare, right? Where you do something to somebody that's almost worse than just killing him. You take away his family, right? But what David did at the tail end of this passage, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that's what we need to do. When times come that things look bleak, when Satan is running his campaign of fear to demoralize and to confuse and to basically take away our desire to move forward, we have to look into the Word. We have to strengthen ourselves in God, okay? And so I came up with four posters for us to encourage us while we're, you know, going through trials, seeing other things that might take our morale and sap our encouragement, right? So first is Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. And picture this on a poster, maybe not with a little crown on it like the other one had. Here we go. I know how to work technology. But maybe on one with a cross, right? New King James Version said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord is everlasting strength." So now if you're going through trials and tribulations and you had a poster in your room or in your kitchen that said the Lord is everlasting strength. It's hard to fall for the tricks of Satan when you know your God is everlasting strength, right? Okay. The Amplified Version says, so trust in the Lord, in verse 4, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. When we think about a rock, an everlasting rock, that's a rock that's not going anywhere, right? No matter how long you pound on it or how many things you do, it's not going anywhere. And that's what God is for us, right? Even in times of peril, even in times where Satan is trying to scare us and demoralize us. The next poster would be Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor or are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, when times are starting to crush in on you, we've all been in that place, right? Where it seems like the devil's got the upper hand and we're being crushed under the weight of his deception and his deceit and his demoralization. But we have the option. We can give all those cares to God. We can take his yoke. His burden is easy. Ours may be too heavy, but we can give him ours. He can handle the heavy stuff. He's given us his light stuff, right? Again, in times of need, I mean, and think about these posters that I showed earlier, almost like our confession cards, right? It's one of those things where maybe the first time you read it, you don't, it doesn't stick, right? You're just saying it. The words are just coming out of your mouth. But the more you read them, the more you see these posters of our promises in God, the more they get into your heart, the more you believe, the harder it is for the devil to take it away from you because you've gotten it so deep inside of you that it can't be taken away, right? John 14:27 would be our next poster. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, in times of peril, in times of need, in times of stress, we go to our promises, our poster book, right? Our book of posters for comfort. And Jesus is saying he's leaving peace with us. He's giving us peace. I went back into the Amplified and looked at this verse kind of spelled out a little bit more. And it says, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. No matter what's going on around you, stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Don't allow yourself to be disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and unsettled. What were the Nazis trying to do with this blitzkrieg? How many of you guys are old enough to remember Mike Tyson? Now, I was in Las Vegas one year visiting my father, and he and I were going to go to the casino and watch a Mike Tyson fight. My father was not on time. We'll just leave it at that. I had some other words I was going to say about it, but we'll just leave it. He was running a little late. And he was fighting Michael Spinks, I want to say. And Michael Spinks was a former heavyweight champion. He was not a coward. He was not a wimp. This man had beat up other men for a living for a while, and he was pretty darn good at it. But he got in a ring with Mike Tyson, and he was so afraid because of what Tyson had done to all the people before him, to everybody he had met. And not even just that, it was the rumors, right? It was the little talking that, well, Mike Tyson did this. He knocked out a horse. I think he knocked out a bull. You know, you would hear stuff like that, right? And obviously, Mike Tyson didn't knock out a horse. That was that guy on Blazing Saddles, right? That knocked out the horse, right? No, Mongo. Mongo. But Michael Spinks was so afraid of Mike Tyson that by the time I pulled up, we pulled up in the casino, about 3 minutes late for the fight, it was over. And they're showing it on the replay. Spinks was so afraid that Tyson was came towards him, and he started laying down before Tyson got there. And as he was laying down, Tyson caught him, and it was over, right? It was like 40 seconds. And that's what the Nazis were trying to do with Europe, right? They were coming through, and they were crashing through, and they were tearing up everybody and just laying everything to waste. And back in those days, right, there was certain countries that were more military, had more strength militarily, and those weren't the ones that they first started attacking, right? They attacked the weak ones. And they built up this reputation of viciousness and just annihilation wherever they went, because they were hoping that the strong would get fearful by the rumors and what they saw in the newsreels and what they read in the newspapers, right? And that's what Satan does to us. So he does things, maybe you see somebody that you know something happens to, or something happens to you, and he wants you to get fearful. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to start being a coward. But Jesus is saying here, do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated or disturbed. Sometimes things that we see should agitate and disturb us in the natural, but we're not operating in the natural, right? It says, do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, or unsettled. Don't be Michael Spinks. Don't start going down before you take the first blow, because you know what happened? Few years later, one guy, I don't know if he couldn't read and didn't see what happened. He didn't have a TV and didn't see what Tyson did to everybody before him. He wasn't afraid. And then when he took that first shot, he goes, hey, I'm still standing. I don't have those little cuckoo birds going around my head like they do in the cartoons, right? And then he ended up beating Tyson, right? Was he a better boxer than Tyson? Who knows? Who knows if half those guys Tyson beat before him were better than him? They were just too afraid. They let fear determine the outcome before he started. And we can't let fear, we can't let discouragement, we can't let anxiety, we can't let that stuff determine our outcome before the outcome happens, right? Because we have this promise from Jesus. He left his peace with us. We don't have to. We don't have to be afraid of the outcome, because the outcome is already settled, right? And the last poster that I came up with to keep us encouraged in a spiritual warfare against Satan, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And again, I went through other versions to try to get a little more depth, and the Amplified also did a good job with this one. Again, it says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I mean, anxiety is the act of being worried about something that hasn't taken place yet, right? And when I'm talking about that, I'm looking right, I'm in a mirror. I don't see any of you. I'm looking in the mirror because I do it too, right? I do it a lot more than I should, obviously. Because it says, be anxious for nothing. We shouldn't do it at all, right? And it says, God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of itself, of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, whatever the sort that is, that peace. So Why do we fear? Are we afraid of the things that we have on earth that'll be taken from us, or that we don't think we'll ever get the things that we want? But God has given us his peace where we'll be content in what we have here, because this isn't our end goal, right? Being here is not our end. Getting cars is not our end. Big houses is not our end. So why are we afraid to lose it? Why are we afraid if we don't get those things, right? And it says, this peace transcends all understanding, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Garrison. Robert, what's a garrison? It's where the soldiers stay, right? So God is putting a garrison and mounting a guard. If you have something important, you mount a guard on it, right? You guys ever watch ATM machines being filled up? One guy's doing the filling. There's another guy standing behind him with his hand on his pistol. Mounting a guard, something that people feel important, that is important. So our hearts and our minds are important to God. He's stationed, he's put an army base in our hearts. And he's put a guard over our minds. So that we don't have a reason to be afraid, right? Because in the end, we know the end, right? We can flip to the end of this book. And we know that we're going to come out on top, right? So anything that happens to us in this life is not worth being anxious over. It's not worth worrying over. We have a book of promises, a book of posters to keep us encouraged, to keep us strengthened, to keep us from getting overwhelmed. We have a book of promises. And like I said earlier, the difference between our promise, the promises in this book, and the promises of the British Information Society or whoever put out this post, ministry, is we know ours will come true. We know ours will come true. All right.